Hello, thank you for accessing this worship resource file for January the 3rd, on which we will celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. I offer this prayer. Eternal God, who by a star led wise men to the worship of your Son, guide by your light the nations of the earth, that the whole world may know your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Gospel passage appointed to be read for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I pray that the words of my lips, the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts may be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure many of us can remember participating in a Christmas pageant where people dressed in robes and crowns and brought gifts to the manger scene where Mary and Joseph waited with the baby. In this very common tableau, we are taught about the royal nature of Jesus' birth and the far-reaching impact of the Incarnation. The birth of Jesus marked a very important time in the history of the world because during the next 30 years or so, God would move mightily on the earth through the person born in a manger, and through that would announce the next stage in the restoration planned from the beginning of time. We know from the story told by Matthew that these visitors, called Magi, were not from the nation of Israel, and so they mark the first of the Gentiles to come and worship God in Jesus Christ. This event, pictured and recreated in Christmas pageants, was a tremendously significant event in the story of God and God's people. Like the birth itself, the event went by without a great deal of notice by other people, but that does not reduce its significance. God's story of restoration involved a covenant with a particular family, the family of Abraham. Through the generations that followed Abraham and Sarah came the nation of Israel. God had selected this family, partly due to the faith displayed by their patriarch Abraham, to bring God's blessing to the world around them. They were to be the means through which God restored his relationship with all of humanity. the division between Jews and Gentiles was an unfortunate byproduct of that process, but through many passages of Scripture, God had announced his intention to welcome all people into the household. Isaiah spoke about this often, and the Feast of the Epiphany celebrates the fact that we, who would be called Gentiles, have been adopted into the household of Abraham's descendants. The very first indication that this was actually going to happen was the visit by the Magi to Jesus. Isaiah had predicted that the nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawning in chapter 60, verse 3 of his book. And the arrival of these travelers from the east indicated the beginning of that process. When the covenant was first established with Abraham, the descendants were to become, you will recall, a blessing to many nations. And through the Messiah, that was coming true. As the events unfold, we also see how the dawning of the light affects those who are not interested in being in the light. The birth of Jesus did not immediately usher in peace and harmony. The yeast of the kingdom of heaven had to work its way into the dough. The Magi, when they arrived in Israel, first visited the reigning king Herod. When Herod heard the news, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. We've all witnessed examples of this. When the ruling council is upset, the country gets upset. And Jerusalem during the reign of Herod was no different. From other accounts, we can conclude that Herod loved the position he had been granted more than he loved the people he was meant to serve. When Herod was disturbed, all of Jerusalem got worried. Rather than rejoicing about God's Messiah coming to birth, Herod plotted on how to get rid of this potential rival to his throne. Darkness does not like the light. But, as St. John writes, darkness cannot overcome the light. These first glimmers of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven on earth were met with resistance from the existing power structures. The need for the holy couple to flee to Egypt in the face of Herod's wrath is a reality that is sometimes faced by proclaimers of God's truth. The dawning light does not attract all of earth's kings to come to God's throne, but for those who answer the call, adoption into God's family is the prize. Matthew's version of the Nativity story brings us this news of the foreign worshippers coming to pay homage to the Christ child, and we can all rejoice in that movement. It tells the reader that no one is beyond the reach of God, and that through the Messiah, the dividing wall between Gentile and Jew will be eliminated. This idea was reinforced by St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. He wrote, "This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." That's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. The outsiders are to become insiders through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. The reunification of the human race is begun by the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem of Judea, just as the prophet Micah had predicted. This was part of God's plan all along. The nation of Israel was chosen to be the means through which this reality could be born into the world. Like St. Paul before us, we are invited to become a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. That's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. The news of the end of division is part of the message we are asked to share as we speak about our experience with God. The Feast of the Epiphany falls on the 12th day of Christmas and marks the end of that season as the good news concerning the Jewish Messiah is shared with the wider world and kings come to the brightness of God's dawning. The separation of the people of the earth seems to be a natural development, but it is not according to God's ultimate purpose. Over and over again, the message of God is seen to be designed to ultimately draw people into one great fellowship of believers. The church arranged this method of remembering and celebrating the good news by positioning the Feast of the Epiphany where it is, which immediately is followed by the celebration of Jesus' baptism as he begins his adult ministry among the people of Israel. The fulfillment of the promise is seen in glimpses of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven through Jesus' life and ministry, and then experienced in a fuller manner at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on the band of believers and they were sent to the corners of the known world. We are invited to be part of that same story by opening our hearts to the truth and accepting the fact that we have been adopted into the family of God in which the previous divisions between cultures has been erased. The Feast of the Epiphany is a marvelous opportunity to celebrate the grace of God in bringing us into the family that has been chosen to be the vehicle for God's restoration of the entire world. So let us praise God and bring him our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. We find those words in Romans chapter 12, verses 1. The entrance into this family of God brings with it the privilege of serving as a beacon for God as the work of restoration continues in our generation. New opportunities open themselves to us because we have been drawn in by God's grace to the fellowship of believers. Our lives have been forever linked to God's plan, and we too are sent into the world to share the good news of God in Christ Jesus. One of the wonderful things about this, in my experience, is that whatever gifts and talents we may have are accepted and used by God. As the years of service to God continue, those initial talents are honed and strengthened, and new talents may be added. Like adopted children, we are fully accepted just as we are, but, as the author Max Lucado has observed, God loves us too much to leave us that way. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, the restoration of all of creation continues to affect our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. My constant hope is that we will become even more effective at the ability to share this news and encourage others to accept their adoption as well. I offer this prayer as I close. O God, who by the leading of a star didst manifest thy only begotten Son to the Gentiles, mercifully grant that we, who know thee by faith, may be led onward through this earthly life, until we see the vision of thy heavenly glory through the same Jesus Christ, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, one God, world without end. Amen.